Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, May 12th, 2026. I am very happy to be here today and to have C.A. Brooks with me for our May 2026 Meeting of the Minds. We always have a good discussion, and I just always look forward to our discussion and to having CA with me, because we have a lot of fun too. We've known each other a while, and it's just good to talk to her. So if you would like to be a part of our discussion, we are live on 12radio.com and streaming live on YouTube. Just go to 12radio.com at the 12radio.com chat room. And then you can click the YouTube link posted under my banner, or just go to Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone, www.youtube.com/@KellyW1850. And you can subscribe, and that way you'll just end up there anytime you want. CA and I may or may not have time for readings today. We can get really caught up in our conversation, so we'll just see how the conversation goes. If you would like a reading, you can find both of us on 12listen.com. And for me personally, barring any unforeseen circumstances, which do happen occasionally, I am available every day, usually later morning, Pacific time into the evening. But if you stop by and don't see me, or if I happen to be on a call and busy, just schedule a call or put in a call back request. I'm notified immediately. We all are. If you are calling someone else or looking for someone else and they happen to be busy, I will get back to you as soon as I possibly can, and I'll always do my best to meet your schedule for a scheduled call. Today is 1-2 day, and that is our favorite day of the month at 1-2 Listen. It's a fun time. We have random rates on calls and chats, random reduced rates that reduce randomly, or that change randomly, not necessarily reduce randomly, but this is our best prices for the month on 1-2 day. Also, you know, we have reduced rates. Those random rates apply to calls and chats, but we also have special pricing on time-based sessions and other services. I will be online after the show and some lunch, and I'll be on into the evening, and I would love to talk to you. This is a good day to come visit if you haven't before. I do have special pricing on my time-based session, my 1-2 day replenish time-based session, so you can find that on my bio page on 1-2 Listen. So we have reduced rates. As I said, 1-2 day is the big day of the month. This is where we really splash out and our rates are changed and they're low. And it's just fun. It's a fun energy. But we also have reduced rates on calls and chats a few times a week. Typically, that's Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. But if you would like to be notified of when that is, because we also celebrate new moon, full moon, and other things, you just go to 12listen.com and sign up for 1-2 promotions. And all that entails is you leave your email address, and then you don't miss out on anything. So I just want to say thank you again for being here today, and thank you for listening however and whenever you do. There is programming 24/7 on 12radio.com, and you can find archives of all the shows from all of the hosts on 12 Radio in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. That on-demand section is a great source of information, inspiration, and support. So I invite you to take advantage. You can download a show anytime for free. I mean, it's just another way that we support you, and another way that you can hear different voices, different passions, different good stuff. So I encourage you to take advantage. And I just want to say thank you to Serena today for producing the show and for all she does for us on 1-2 Radio. And as you know, because this is the monthly speech when CA comes, I am always glad to have her on the show with me. CA is a 1-2 Listen advisor, a clairvoyant astrologer, an animal communicator. She's an avid student of A Course in Miracles, among other things. And she writes the Week Ahead section of the Power Peak, Mark Husson's weekly newsletter. She hosts Everyday Astrology here on 1-2 Radio. which immediately precedes Empowerment Live every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific and streams live on YouTube as well. She has podcasts of her Course in Miracles show available in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. Our meeting of the minds is where we can bring everything and anything to the table. It's a great discussion. It's an open discussion. Spirituality, astrology, tarot, feng shui, stories about our families, dogs, anything and everything is welcome. And as I said earlier, we could probably talk for days. So this is always just a fun show. And it goes by in the flash of an eye. It's amazing. See how go. You know, do you realize we only have 2 minutes left? And we do. We just get caught up in our conversation. So I want to start our conversation today with a few thoughts, and CA will join me in just a couple minutes. It won't take long. So I think the topic, if I had to give this teaching segment, my part of it, a topic, which is just our starting point for our discussion, I would call it the circle of life. And sorry, I was moving my microphone, if that made a noise. The circle, and I learned this from Joseph Campbell, from his series with Bill Moyers. He said the circle has always been a powerful symbol from ancient times until now. Everything is a circle. The sun is a circle. The earth is a circle that revolves around the sun in a circle. A lifetime is a circle that begins with pure source manifesting in human form as a baby at birth and then returning to pure source at death. We are eternal. We are source, the individualization of source. We come in, we occupy this house that we call a body. We go through all the stages of life. And at the end, we leave it because we are done with it. And that's the point, right? The seasons demonstrate. The seasons in nature demonstrate that circle as well. You know, the circle of birth and death. And what comes into being must pass away in order for something else to come into being. So it's beautiful. It's good. It's relativity, you know, give and take. It's what is. And that, for some reason, that really lights me up in a really positive way. I love the thought of that because everything in the physical has a lifespan. Everything. Nothing, you know, and because we live in a relative experience here, being human in this physical plane, everything is relative, right? We don't know good unless we know bad. We don't know light unless we know dark. And they are two sides of the same coin. They are the same thing. One is not better than the other, even though we think that's true, because we want everything to be good all the time. And that's fine. It's just probably never going to happen because life shows up the way it will. And the way it affects us is our perception of it. And our judgments of what's good and bad, what shouldn't happen, what should happen. And the more we're attached to those, the more we are going to suffer because that's not how life is. But back to the circle. Joel Goldsmith describes eternity as a circle and a human lifetime as a parenthesis in eternity. And I like that. I like that because that's a neat visual. But, you know, everything in our world, you know, to go beyond, almost kind of beyond the circle, because the circle is a finite shape, right? But everything in our world exists within our consciousness. There's as many, Neville, this is a Neville quote, there are as many worlds as there are people to perceive them. And so our world, our experiences exist within our consciousness. Heaven and hell exists within our consciousness. God is all that is. And there is nothing outside of God. So every experience we have is a product of our consciousness. Florence Goldshin wrote, "Jesus Christ said, 'Resist not evil,' for he knew in reality there is no evil. Therefore, nothing to resist. Evil has come of man's vain imagination or a belief in two powers, good and evil. There's an old legend that Adam and Eve ate of Maya, the tree of illusion, and saw two powers instead of one power, which was God. Therefore, evil is a false law man has made for himself through psychoma or soul sleep. Soul sleep means that man's soul has been hypnotized by the human race belief of sickness, sin, death, etc., which is carnal or mortal thought, and his affairs have outpictured his illusions." We can only live what we believe, right? You can't live anything that you don't believe. And the thing is that what we believe is part of that human race mind. That human race mind that is the thought atmosphere that we navigate through every day. Every thought, every emotion of every person who's ever been here is there. And also what we have gotten from our parents and people in authority in authority over us as small children, and then through our own experience and education and learning and whatever we do, we just kind of stack up, so to speak, what those things in our consciousness. And so, you know, you may think, well, I didn't believe that. I didn't think that would happen. Well, somehow, some way, yeah. I mean, we've accepted it. We can only live what we have accepted. I think Neville said that. But God is. Here's the thing. That's small. You know, evil and the human race mind is small. God is. Period. There's nothing outside of God. And everything, this world, this life, to include our bodies, is spiritual. But the human mind, the purpose of the human mind, is that it forms the spiritual substance that everything is, because everything is God, source, into material form. And that form, the form that is formed by the human mind, is based on that human mind's beliefs and influences. So Florence wrote, "Every man is a golden link in the chain of my good. For all men are God in manifestation, awaiting the opportunity given by man himself to serve the divine plan of his life." Neville said, "Every person comes into our life to show us who we are." So the reason why this is so uplifting to me is because last week I had a car accident, and I'm not gonna belabor that. That was the thing that happened. At the time, it was a shocker, to say the least. I was crossing a street and I got broadsided by a woman who ran a red light. And so I was thrown for a loop, and thankfully I got across the street, and this lovely man stopped his truck. Actually, he was going a different direction. He saw the whole thing. He was waiting to turn when I crossed the street on a green light. And he was waiting to turn, but he came back around. And he came, and I opened my car door, and I got out, and he asked me if I was okay. And I was just shaking, you know, shaking like a leaf. And I can't even explain how I felt. It was just overwhelming. And he said, "That's adrenaline." He said, "Turn your car off." I said, "Should I move it?" And he said, "Leave it where it is. Call the police." So I did. The police came right away. The woman that hit me had other people in her car. I was by myself. And so the police, the fire truck, the paramedics, they all came. I was fine. Physically, I was absolutely fine. My car that I love with all my heart, Olive, that was my mother's car, was totaled. The whole side was just bashed in, whole passenger side. So the police come, the woman gets the citation because I was just crossing the street on a green light. But this gentleman that helped me stuck around, and he moved his truck to the parking lot. Luckily, Chick-fil-A was right there, and that's where the policeman asked me to move my car. So I parked in Chick-fil-A, and he came back a few minutes later, and he had written down, his name was Tom, the man in the truck. He'd written down his name, his phone number, and he said, "This is my contact information." And the policeman was standing there and took a picture of it. And he said, "So you'll need that for your insurance, you might. And so here you go." And when the first thing I said to him when he got out of his truck is, I said, "That light was green, right? That light was green." And he said, "Yeah, it was, that she'd actually run the red light." But he gave me that paper, and then the policeman went back to his car and he said, "Do you need a ride home?" And I said, "I don't even know what's going to happen next, so I'm not going to hold you up." And he stood there and talked to me. And it turns out that he had on this cap, this baseball cap that it had a bunch of pins on the front of it, veterans pins. So he was a veteran, which I have a soft spot in my heart for veterans because all of my uncles were veterans, and I support veterans organizations. And turns out that he was actually a retired policeman. So he was just, what better witness could I have possibly had, right? So here's God. God appears as like every man is a golden link in the chain of my good, right? Here's one of them. Another one was the woman that worked at Chick-fil-A. She came running out to my car to make sure I was okay, and she grabbed my hand, and it was so sweet. I mean, she was so genuinely concerned, and she said, "Can I get you an orange juice or a water or something?" So she goes back into Chick-fil-A and brings me a water, and she also, checked on the woman who hit me because it was an accident. I mean, it was an accident. I think she was just distracted. But anyway, so there's another beautiful person, that was there to help me. God appearing as this lovely lady and as Tom, and it was just, it was really, I was just totally rattled. And thankfully, everyone who I talked to from my insurance company and in person realized that. And I don't know how many people told me that's adrenaline. You're just feeling adrenaline. Well, it took a long, long time for that to go away. But even the man at the tow company, they came and towed my car away. And my insurance company says, "Well, if we're going to tow your car, you got to give them a destination to tow it to." So I'd given him a, I don't know, body shops, I don't know. So I told him, I gave him a name of a body shop. Well, this man from the tow company called me couple hours later and told me who he was, and I said, "Oh yes," I said, "I need to I gave the body shop," and he said, "No, you don't understand. Your car is totaled. We can't take it to a body shop because they can't fix it." So he said, "We're taking it to our lot. Let your insurance company know that we're taking it to our lot." And he was so kind, and I'm sure I was just rattled and scattered in talking to him, and but he was so kind. His name was Mo, and he was so sweet and so kind. And later on, a couple days later, when my insurance company was going to pick up my car to take it to their lot so that it could be assessed by their appraiser, he called me and he said, "Is there anything in your car that you want?" And I said, "No." I grabbed the three things out of my car that were most important. One was my mom's rosary that was hanging from the rear view. Two was my yoga mat in the back seat. And three was a box of mints. And everything else, there's nothing else in there. And he asked if I wanted the mats on the floor or a rug that my mom had put in the back of the car. And I said, "No, that's fine." And I said, "Thank you for being so kind." And He was like, "Of course, of course." But he was just so sweet, just here's another one. Here's another perfect example. So anyway, this was last Monday. As of yesterday, I had a settlement amount. And up until then, I had no, I mean, I tried to look on car sites, and I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. I was really rattled. And it took several days, and I know the adrenaline left, but there was just a massive wave of it had to just be grief that came back around. I don't know, but it took me several days to get through it. It took me a couple days to even be able to think clearly. So I took a couple days offline, but got back on like last Wednesday. So anyway, I just, it's like until I know what the settlement is, how can I look for a car? And I really wasn't excited. But my family was so, was w have all been just really supportive. And my brother called me yesterday. Yesterday was my birthday. And he called to tell me happy birthday and asked me or actually he texted me and asked me what I was doing for transportation. And I said nothing because I really didn't have any place to be. I didn't have any appointments. And it made no sense to go through the hassle of renting a car because the insurance, as soon as they give you a settlement amount, you've got like 72 hours to return the call. And they've moved so quickly that I actually had that amount yesterday. And when he initially texted me last week, and then he called me on the day that the accident happened, he said, "Don't worry, we can get you another Olive. Don't worry, don't worry. Just be okay. Just be happy that you're not hurt." So anyway, when we were talking yesterday, I said, "I should get the settlement today. I'll let you know what it is." And he goes, "I've got a really good friend who's a car guy." So here's another answer to prayer, right? I really truly just had no inclination to even look for a car. And number one, until I knew the settlement amount, but number two, because I just wasn't in the space for it. I just wasn't. Then this morning, Jared texted me. I talked to him at length yesterday, with a listing for a Jeep Cherokee, a 2023. My car was a 2014. That looks absolutely great. So I sent my contact information and I'll wait to see if it's still available. But it's just like, here comes support. Here comes help. And that's what we need to focus on when things are shook up. Because again, the pendulum always swings. It has to. It has to. Florence wrote, "Agree with thine adversary quickly." This is on her chapter called Resistance or Non-Resistance. I can't remember. This is all Florence quotes are from The Game of Life and How to Play It. She wrote, "Agree with thine adversary quickly," which is what Jesus said. And that means, she wrote, that means agree that the adverse situation is good. Be undisturbed by it, and it falls away of its own weight. None of these things move me. Is a wonderful affirmation. The inharmonious situation comes from some inharmony in man himself. When there is in him no emotional response to an inharmonious situation, it fades away forever from his pathway. So we see man's work is ever with himself. And it is. We're it. We're it. There's nothing we can possibly change outside of ourselves, but we can change anything and everything within. Just going in and resting in that spirit, just being quiet, resting, letting everything go, sacrificing everything. I don't know how many times I said, "I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do, but that which lives me does." And just giving it away, giving it, accepting what is. Acceptance is how where peace comes. It just is. So that's where, agreeing with your adversary is like, okay, this is what it is. It's not something I love. I'm not happy about this, but it is what it is, and I'm not going to suffer because I wish it were different. That's the decision. If there's something you cannot change, just know acceptance is the path of least resistance, and wanting it to be different is the path of suffering. It is. There's no gray area there. Not at all. So, just to wrap this up and get to CA, my friend and my guest, I don't think we can ever go backwards. And so my quote unquote new car will suit me even better than Olive did. And I know that to be true. And even last week when I was feeling just really not myself, I just had, this beautiful little light that I could feel kind of in my heart. And I don't, it's like a warmth. And I think, you probably know what I'm talking about. It's like you're in something and it doesn't feel good, but then it's like this, like a little wave of the spirit that comes up and goes, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Don't get stuck. Don't get stuck here. This is just something you have to get through. So anyway, on that note, I want to say welcome to CA and thanks for being here today. How are you?
I'm good. And that was quite the story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, quite the experience, I must say.
Yes, it really is. And I so resonate because, my car is a 99. Mm-hmm. Her name is Esmeralda and I love her. And so just even hearing this story, it's sort of like, yeah, how do you say goodbye to something that has been an important piece of your life? And it mm-hmm. kind of goes right along with on my show, we were talking about the new moon in Taurus and how we define life. And a lot of people, they don't, it's what we have attachments to. But certainly, yeah. Esmeralda has been in my life longer than many people, Mm-hmm. So it's even hard to imagine having to say goodbye to her. But on the other hand, I mean, everything you said today, Kelly, was just a real gem.
Thank you.
Quotable quotes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. They're just all really gems. And, kind of adding to, I can't say it better than you said it and how some of these people say it. But I think one of the things that is hard to accept in our lives is that, in a sense, nothing is an accident. And in turn, well, I mean, in the sense that, I'm looking at my notes because I was taking notes while you're talking about how, I wouldn't have meant that to happen. I don't believe in that. Well, apparently you do. You know what I mean? It's like we want to quickly say, and by the way, I also think it's really important not to get into a place of I take responsibility for every bad thing that has ever happened. Almost like trying to be a martyr or something. It's not about saying... No. And I know you didn't do that. But I'm saying I want to reiterate that because that's not where I'm going. But I also think it's sort of like I would go back to the mental equivalent and, the little book by E. What is it?
Emmett Fox.
Emmett Fox. Thank you. I wanted to say E.M. Forrester. He's a novelist. Emmett Fox. But anyway, that he says, he says nothing can happen to you kind of without your consent. And so he gives the example of people that would say, well, I was a visitor in a town and it turns out, now he wrote these a long time ago, of course, that, mm-hmm. They had smallpox. And he said, but if you didn't know they had smallpox, how could you get it? And so he counters that with, because you believe in the possibility of contagious disease that you don't know anything about. So, he kind of argues back and forth. Some people want to go, well, I don't have a mental equivalent for that, or I don't believe in that. But the very fact, and this kind of goes back to your resistance thing, how could you resist something that doesn't exist?
Yeah.
Right? So it's the same kind of thing. Oh, well, I don't believe in that, so it could never happen. But why do you bother not believing in it? What is it you're not believing in?
Exactly. You give it power. When we choose to ignore something, we're ignoring it because we think it has power. Yeah. And if we give it attention, something will happen. But ignoring does the same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
But getting into where you were kind of leaving the conversation of the acceptance versus the resistance, we don't have to tie ourselves into all these knots about whether we created or we didn't create it or how it happened or anything else. There is something to be learned, or you wouldn't have allowed your consciousness to see it. I mean, that's mm-hmm. how I think it happens, is it's not about, well, that's it, how it happens, or you made it happen, or anything else. But in this moment, accepting there is something for me, accepting there's something to learn, accepting there is an act of kindness, there is something about life that I am going to be affirmed with, that is going mm-hmm. to be a positive for me, or I wouldn't have allowed this into my life. You know, mm-hmm. it's there, it's acceptance. And like I said, I do think it's funny that so often we keep resisting things that we say we don't believe in, but our very resistance is the proof, you know? So it's like, quit resisting, or however that quote, you know, be quick mm-hmm. to agree yeah. with your adversaries. I love that.
You yeah. know? But, and the one that I really like that I'm going to read again is, every man is a golden link in the chain of my good, for all men are God in manifestation, awaiting the opportunity given by man himself to serve the divine plan of his life.
Mm-hmm.
That's big. I yeah. mean, to just think about that. I mean, that's big. So yeah. everything, everybody, everything in our life has a purpose. And mm-hmm. that purpose is our growth, if we choose to have it, right? Mm-hmm. Our mm-hmm. advancement, if we choose to have it, or our suffering, if we choose not to have it, if we choose to push against it, if we choose to hate it, you know, whatever. It's and everything is a choice. Accept or suffer. That's it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And one of the metaphors that I take away from A Course in Miracles, and I will admit, so often I've read so much and, you know, talked to so many different people. Some things, they're not actually in the course, but it's kind of a mythology that surrounds it. And this is one of those things. This is one of those things. I'd have to look it up. Is it actually in the book, or is it just what people talk about? But how every single physical thing is, you know, it's almost like this big piece of glass that at the very beginning of our consciousness was broken. And so we're all one of these millions and trillions of pieces of glass. We're all exactly the same. But as we look out, we think we see different shapes and sizes and you know, mm-hmm. resonance and whatever. But at their core, they're all the same. They're all the same. But that mm-hmm. being said, it's not like you go off and you say, oh, well, I'm just going to do whatever I want because it doesn't really matter. Or this is going to be a learning experience, you know. We show good judgment, you know, we use common sense, but that we also recognize that that's it. Everything is an opportunity for us, everything. Mm-hmm. And maybe we don't have to super analyze everything and totally understand it, but simply, I mean, what comes down to me more and more often is, does it work for me or not? You know, being angry, being upset, being resistant, is it working? And, you know, most of the time I can go, how's this working out for you, CA? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what it feels like. It's like, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's kind of like, would you, you know, this comes from multiple spiritualities. Would you rather be right or happy?
Yeah.
You know? It's like, we want to get into all these proofs and this and this. And it's fun. I mean, I love it. You know, I'm a very mm-hmm. mental person. I love going down there. But the mm-hmm. truth is, does it work for you? You know? Mm-hmm. And yeah, maybe it was your turn, or maybe you are right. But if the whole thing is just upsetting and stirring up trouble, then it's like, is that what you want? Is it working for you? And that's what I ultimately just have to look at things and say, is it working? What does it do mm-hmm. with your peace of mind? Yeah, you can sit there all day long and say, I'm right, I'm right, I'm right. So what? Mm-hmm. What does it matter? If you're miserable and you're right and everybody else is on the other side and wrong, you know? Yeah. I know there is one thing in a course that basically says, you just cannot even imagine the weight that would be lifted off your shoulders by giving up judgment. You just can't even imagine what it would feel like.
Well, I'm sure.
I keep saying, well, I want to try to imagine. I want to try. But, you know, that's it. Watching your behavior and being observant and very much doing what you did, which just said, this is where I'm at in this moment. Mm-hmm. This is where I'm at. And so, yeah, I'm not going to get on the line today, or I'm not going to make that call, or this is what I'm going to do. This is where I'm at in this moment, and I'm not going to make it right or wrong. I'm just going to be in the moment.
Mm-hmm. And well, accept that's acceptance it. Too. That's
yes, acceptance. It is. It absolutely is.
And that, you know, when you do, the first thing that when I do that, it's like, I kind of feel a weight fall off my back. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Okay, this is it. I'm not fighting. I'm not pushing. I'm just going to go with it. You know, it's just, that's it. Alan Watts wrote that when we accept what's in the present moment, when we accept it, we allow the moment to live in our experience, just exactly as it is. And again, everything outside of us are effects, right? Mm-hmm. Everything outside of us are effects of our consciousness, effects of our beliefs. So they don't have any power. They don't. And, you know, like you said, judgment, if we can leave our judgment, it's also justification, you know, justifying why we did something the way we did it. And that is just a trip down the rabbit hole in and of itself, because it doesn't matter. You know, mm-hmm. The thing that's done is a thing that's done. Accept it or don't. It is. It's like Michael Chmura talks about unproductive questions. You know, something happens, and you're going, well, why did that happen? Why did that happen? Why is an unproductive question? Because you might find out why, but it's still the thing that happens is the thing that's sitting in your lap. You know, it really doesn't matter. It's just, it's, can I have this or not? And whatever the consequences are of either one of those, it's, if you can have it, you'll feel a lot better. Have, quote unquote, have it. And if not, you're just going to struggle and it's going to push back at you. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
I think that
just showed up was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think about that in terms of asking those questions. Ultimately, I think gets to the idea we want to control things that we can't control. So if I can understand how that happens.
Yes.
Now, I mean, it's useful on some levels, like, oh, the tips of this plant are turning brown. Why is that? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I can pull a little thread and figure that out and go, yeah, you're overwatering or you're letting it sit in water or whatever.
Oh yeah.
But a lot of times, like you're right, that why, ultimately, when I keep following the path, it comes down to you're not accepting that you can't control this. You're convinced that your mind, you're convinced that your intelligence, that your ability to figure it out is going to be important, instead of just going, it's not under my control. Just not under my control. And so ultimately, I mean, sometimes I have to pull a lot of those threads, but it is interesting how often it comes right back around to you're having a really hard time, me, when I say that, you're having a really hard time accepting something that you can't control. You're still convinced that your opinion is going to change it. You're still convinced that your understanding of it is going to change it. And it's not. It's not under your control. And so, you know, I mean, on some levels, that's useful if you can follow it and keep playing with it, you know? Mm-hmm.
And get information.
Yeah.
But I was thinking of, you know, why is this happening? Like, why did my car get hit? What was interesting is it was like a couple days earlier, I went for a walk and, you know, Olive's sitting in my driveway and I always say thanks to her, you know, and it's like, I actually can remember the thought, I'll drive Olive for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And then a few days later that happened. And if I tried to figure out why that happened, what did I do?
Yeah, no.
What did I do wrong? That's another bad one. Don't ever go down the what did I do wrong mm-hmm. rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's fruitless. It's fruitless. It just gets you trapped in negativity. And the thing is that it's not going to help a thing.
No.
It's not going to help a thing. And sometimes, you know, it's like, well, if I, you know, maybe I can figure out what I did so I don't do it again. Well, you know what? Life keeps moving. Just keep moving
mm-hmm.
with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's Absolutely. A no mistakes universe. I really do believe that. It's a no mistakes universe.
Yep.
Everything is for us. Everything is for our growth. Everything is for our evolution if we choose to use it that way.
Mm-hmm. And there again, if you just say, oh, this is a lesson, let's learn the lesson and let's move on. You mm-hmm. know, and not, you know, in fact, something I'm trying to think if I can articulate this. I was listening to a podcast and they basically were talking about, I'd say authority, which kind of goes back down to what you can control and what you can't. But the idea mm-hmm. that how often, now it depends on the society that you've been raised in, but I remember even as a kid, you know, or, you know, a young driver, one of my brothers and sisters would be in the car and say, there's a cop. Well, you know what? So what? Does that raise the hairs on your neck? When somebody goes, there's a cop, and you have to ask yourself why.
What am I doing wrong?
We're assuming, yes. I mean, and how
I'm
many
driving
things,
the speed limit.
Right. How many things in our lives do we do that about? You know, where they become red flags.
I can relate.
Then if you can kind of relax into it and just go, why? You know, what is that about that in many ways we do carry that burden of always thinking we made a mistake? Now, A Course in Miracles would call it guilt, but not guilt on the physical level, but a psychic or spiritual guilt, you know. But that's mm-hmm. it. It's like, and there's the trigger. Oh, my God. And sometimes you even hear people say, like, there will be a situation and somebody will go, well, I didn't do it. And it's like, we didn't ask you, you know.
And so, we didn't think you did.
We didn't think you did. But how many triggers there are. And that's what this podcast, he had mentioned a couple of them. And that wasn't even his big point. But I could feel my body tense up when mm-hmm. he mentioned a couple of them. And I thought, see, that's proof positive right there. I'm living in like, okay, I'm going to get caught. It's going to happen. Somebody's going to figure it out. You know, sometimes I'll talk about how people are kind of afraid of, you know, if you really knew me, you wouldn't like me. Or if you really knew me, you wouldn't love me. You know, on some level, we feel that about so many things. And there's these triggers in our lives. And so the more we can just identify them, there's a cop, you know, there's somebody going to figure it out. And it's like, you know, why do we live in that kind of, you know, state? And in fact, it kind of came home to me last week. I was working with a health practitioner and she was kind of manipulating my arm. And she kept saying, she'd say, relax your shoulders. And so then I do it. And then not 30 seconds later, she goes, okay, relax your shoulders. And it finally, I'm like, oh my God, do I just live in a constant state of lifting up my shoulders? And I don't even know it. I mean, I think I am relaxed. And she's like, I mean, she must have said it to me 10 times. Relax your shoulders. Put your shoulders down. And I thought, boy, you know, what do I think I'm doing? Playing football or something and running down the field? Got to hunch my shoulders, you know? But I thought that was kind of an eye-opener because it's like, well, no wonder there's a shoulder issue, you know? I'm just like, I can't relax my shoulders unless I do it really consciously because I'm just... Mm-hmm. I'm just tensing them.
It's a habit.
And it was interesting because I thought we do that mentally as well. You know, we do, or you want to consider it emotionally or psychically. We're ready. We're ready for the punch. We're ready for something to happen. And it's like, what if we said what you said in many of these statements today? This is how it's supposed to be and or it's for our benefit. It's for mm-hmm. our benefit. Mm-hmm. We don't have to go through feeling afraid, feeling, you know, like even the statements we say, when the next shoe drops, when the other shoe drops, it's like, Why do we think that way? Because on some level, we think we deserve it. You know, we're going to be found out. No, we don't deserve it. And when God or the cops or the IRS or whoever figures it out, they're going to come and get us, you know? And so it's fun, just fun to play with that. Just go, you know what? It's all to my benefit. It's all to my benefit. And you know what? I do make mistakes. So what?
Exactly. So what?
You know?
Exactly.
Every time I hear somebody automatically go, oh, I didn't do it. And it was like totally inappropriate statement. I'm just like, what's on your mind?
You know? We take everything personally.
We weren't going there.
Everything personally. Yeah. So got to clear my name now.
Well, and I was just kind of thinking about my dog Tucker and does he ever do that? Because I would say he's kind of the opposite. You know, he's kind of like, yeah, I did it. So what?
You know? Have a problem.
You left the chapstick there for me, didn't you? Yeah, I came home the other day.
I enjoyed it.
I don't leave chapsticks within his reach, but I came home and yeah, sure enough, he had just chewed one up. Mm-hmm. But you know, he wasn't like, okay, I, you know, he's like, yeah, I did it. Didn't you leave it for me? Wasn't that my treat? I'm like, no, it wasn't.
That's like Grace can shred a napkin in like 3 seconds. I mean, shred it.
Yes.
And it's so funny. It's just so funny. And it doesn't happen very often now because it's just, you know, me and her and I don't drop my napkin. But every once in a while it happens and it's like, you just can't get past that, can you? I mean, you just, it's like, it's a compulsion. She just has to do it. And it's really funny.
Just like a little snowstorm, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and it is funny because I play with Tucker a lot with toys and things. And so sometimes if I drop something, he grabs it and runs because I think he thinks it's just another game.
Yes.
Oh, you know, she dropped that so that I'd run with it, you know? And I'm like, no, I didn't actually bring it back. But in any case.
And then it'll be even more fun.
It will be. Yes. Yeah. He has these toys and he kind of clobbers me with them, and all he's really trying to do is saying, okay, your turn, you know, let's play tug of war is what he wants. But he kind of comes and throws it at me, and if I don't see it coming, I'm like, whoa, what was that?
Oh wow. But that's funny.
It is
Grace
funny,
will grab hers. She has some little stuffed ones that I throw from my dining room through the kitchen into my office, because it's a straight shot,
right?
And she'll fetch them, but she will never bring it back to me. So I have to have two toys, you know, one to throw. And then when she brings that one back, I'll go, drop it. She'll drop it. So I throw the next one and we keep it going that way. And it's really funny when she wants to play, she'll grab one of those and get behind me and push them into my ankles as I'm walking. It's like, thanks, Grace.
Trying to get your attention.
Not productive there. Yeah. Funny.
Well, and speaking of attention, I just looked over at the chat room and I wanted to say, hey, guys, thank you so much for being there today. And Quelly, thank you. She says blessings to Kelly and CA. And also Maureen, oh, my gosh, it's really good to see you. I think I saw you in my chat room, too. But anyway, thank you so much for being here today and for sharing these stories with us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you guys are here. Sorry, I don't pay much attention to the chat room because I can't multitask.
Well, so, I was trying to figure out what time it was, and I thought, oh, I better check this out. And so I saw the messages over there. So thank you.
Good.
Yeah,
good.
But really good show today, Kelly. I mean, wonderful, wonderful
thank
stuff.
You.
And, you know, it's something we cannot be reminded too often. Because just like me and the shoulders, if I had it down, I wouldn't need somebody constantly telling me that. And all of these different people that you quoted who were saying very, very similar things, you know, just be quick to agree with your adversaries, accept the path, don't resist. Resistance is futile, as they would say in Star Trek with the Borg.
Well, as Florence Gilson says, resistance is hell. And it is hell.
Yeah.
It is. Because we're in a struggle.
Mm-hmm. Unless you're playing tug of war with your dog. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
then it,
true.
Then it can be a little fun, but that's the only kind that is probably.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, so you'll be on today for 1-2 day?
Yep. Yeah, I am going to give too. Little Tucker some yard time and I'm going to have some lunch and then I will be on. So if anybody, and I also do have my typical 30-minute special price on a time-based session, which means that you can buy it today and you don't have to use it today if this isn't the time you want to use it. You just pocket it. You put it in your account and it's there when you want it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love
time-based sessions are great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do too. Well, thank you so much for being with me, CA, and it was a good show. I mean, it was like, I know what I wanted to say, but I didn't know how. And then this morning I sat down, I gave it all away and it just whirled. You know what I mean?
It was very good. And how many, I mean, we so need to hear these stories and know these stories because life is unpredictable.
Life's
life. It doesn't always make sense, but we can still, you know, reap the rewards, the roses. Exactly.
Choose to. Exactly. Yeah. So thank you again for being with me today. My guest today was C.A. Brooks. Thank you, everyone, for listening, however and whenever you do. You've been listening at this moment to Empowerment here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world. Please stay tuned for Katie Weaver, and more than anything, have a very blessed week. Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.